and Sade, radio's famous home folks. Brought to you each Thursday night at this time with the good wishes of the Mutual Broadcasting System and its affiliated stations. It's about the middle of the morning as our scene opens now. And here in the living room of the small house, halfway up in the next block, we find Mr. Victor Gook all by himself. Mr. Gook has newly arrived home from the office. And he's still wearing his hat and topcoat. He's at the telephone talking with his secretary, Miss Olive Hammersweet, and we hear him saying,
Miss Hammersweet, I'm calling because there's one other thing I forgot to tell you when I left the office. Will you hold my telephone call? Yes, don't have anybody ring me here at home. No, it's 10 o'clock and I have to have these August invoices completed by noon. And I think I can just about make it if I'm not bothered by distractions and interruptions. Yes. Well, just tell them I'm tied up and can't be reached and I'll talk to them this afternoon. Fine, Miss Hammersweet. I got a few very nice breaks here at home to ensure peace and quiet. The city has blocked off Emerson Avenue for some reason, so I won't be bothered with traffic noises. And I find a note from Mrs. Gook saying that she's motoring up to Towanda with a friend of hers. And my son, of course, is in school. Ha-ha. So I should be able to concentrate. Yeah, well, okay then, Miss Hammersweet. You bet. Goodbye.
Hey, Mom, they blocked off Emerson Avenue.
Oh, my.
I think there's a busted sewer or something. Maybe the water main went on the blink.
Well, Doc.
Hello, Margaret, old pal.
Why ain't you at the office?
Why ain't you at school?
Principal Chinbunny called a special teacher's meeting.
The next time I see Principal Chinbunny, I will flog him within an inch of his life.
Did you bring work home from the office?
Yes. My August invoices. And I've got exactly 2 hours to complete the job in.
I got a cinder in my shoe.
Well, let's talk about that. Let's slip on loose kimonos and light up cigars and have a cozy chat about you having a cinder in your shoe.
Sarcasm, huh?
I would employ a stronger term.
Irony?
Bitterness.
I see.
I've got a slim 2 hours to finish up a task which ordinarily would require nearly 3 hours. So naturally, I'd love to use part of that time to chin with nitwits about cinders in their shoes.
Bluetooth Johnson loves to tell a humorous anecdote concerning a nitwit like myself, who was asked by his
Geraldine,
father...
Geraldine, honey, maybe there's a silver lining in this chance meeting. I bet I can use you. Principal Chinbunny is a sweetheart recalling this special teacher's meeting, and the next time I see him, I'll give him a dime. Yeah, sure I can use you. You can read me off the figures in these August invoices. And we'll expedite the job.
Fine. I got no other plans.
Well, let's get right to work then. Sit down.
Where's Mom?
Oh, she drove up to Towanda with Miss Stembottom. Left a note on the kitchen table.
Uh-huh.
Now let's work along rapidly and efficiently. We won't be interrupted or distracted. I instructed my secretary not to bother me with telephone calls. And we have a lucky break in that they blocked off Emerson Avenue. So we ought to be able to make speedy headway.
Okay. Is this what you want me to read?
Yeah, that's it. You might as well begin this instant.
Okay. Plan 17, Toledo, Ohio, 9206.
Now, just read along at an ordinary rate of speed. I'll indicate when I want you to read the next item by saying next.
Oh.
Okay. Shoot.
Plan 17, Toledo, Ohio, 9206.
Hey, who's home?
Oh.
Hello, who's home?
Hi, Mom.
Right?
Sure.
Why ain't you in school?
Principal Chinbunny called a special teacher's meeting.
Well, he's always calling a special teacher's meeting. You have to go back this afternoon or do you get the whole day off?
I have to go back this afternoon.
Why, Vic?
Hello, Dr. Sleet.
Why ain't you at the office?
Why ain't you at the Towanda?
Ruthie's car wouldn't begin.
You say you're going to Towanda and leave a note on the kitchen table stating that you're going to Towanda. And give the American public the general impression you're going to Towanda, and you don't go to Towanda.
Ruthie's car wouldn't begin. It just sat there in the driveway and wouldn't budge when she put her foot on the magneto. I guess it's the propeller or something that's broke. Anyway, it refused to begin. Why ain't you at the office?
Gee, I wish I could play the guitar. I'd come as soon.
Did you bring some work home?
Yes, and I got 2 hours to do it in. Two rotten, measly little hours.
Well, don't bite my head off.
I've already wasted 10 minutes.
All right. I'll leave. I'll go.
Where to, Tawanda?
I'll go to the kitchen.
Will you be quiet out there?
You know I'm quiet when you bring work home from the office. Come on, Rush.
I gotta stay here and help Doug.
Is that right, Dick?
Yes.
Well, you won't hear a sound out of me.
All right, Pete. Let's go.
Second item?
First item.
Plant 17, Toledo, Ohio, 9,206.
9,206. Next.
Beg pardon?
Don't say beg pardon.
Well, I was only politely
attempting. When
attentive.
I say next, it's your cue to read off the next item. Come on, wake up now. Next.
Plant 4, Sweet Esther, Wisconsin, 1,729.
Plant 4, Sweet Esther, Wisconsin, 1,700.
Hey, my God.
Oh, my gravy boat. My gravy boat. My big glass gravy boat.
What?
My big glass gravy boat. I expect she dropped her gravy boat and broke it. Expect she dropped her gravy boat.
Hey! What is that? That's the idea.
What happened?
Did you fall off your chair, Rush?
Yeah.
What happened in there?
Well, why did you fall off your chair?
I had it tilted too far back.
What was that awful noise?
Oh, this fine character fell off his chair.
I had it tilted too far back.
Hurt yourself?
Well, sure. But I don't imagine I'll suffer any permanent injury.
What happened in the kitchen?
I dropped my gravy boat and broke it. My great big monstrous gravy boat Charlie and Irene give me for Christmas.
My son falls off his chair and my wife slams stuff on the floor. And I got 3-hour job with a slim 2 hours to do it in.
Listen.
Uncle Fletcher.
And now we got Uncle Fletcher.
Well, goodness.
Come on in, Uncle Fletcher.
Well, Vic, honey, old boy, you
are
that too, are they?
Isn't this clibby? Isn't this fine? All of us got together here.
Telephone is ringing.
Yes, the telephone is ringing.
The front door is ringing.
Yes, the front door bell is ringing.
Well, people, honey.
Hello, Uncle Fletcher.
Bring some work home from the office, Vic, honey, are they?
Yes, isn't this gravy?
Telephone is ringing and the front door bell is ringing.
Oh, it's a lovely place. I love it. Something's going on every second.
Well, I don't want to bother anybody. All I want to do is sit down on the davenport with this flat iron and this hammer. I got a pocket full of walnuts I want to crack.
Oh, no, Uncle Fletcher. I'm afraid you can't crack your walnuts in here. Vic has brought work home from the office and has to have it quiet.
I'll take my walnuts outdoors and crack up on the cistern lid.
Would that be all right, Vic?
Ooh, that'd be terrific.
Well, you needn't be mean about it.
Oh, I'm not being mean. The idea of Uncle Fletcher cracking his walnuts outdoors on the cistern lid gives me goose pimples of ecstasy. Why, I could almost cry. I'm so happy.
You're a good boy, Rick.
Say, do you realize I've lost about 15 minutes?
We're leaving.
I wouldn't want you to hurry or anything, and these little trivial, insignificant August invoices aren't worth bothering about. But if you just as soon pull freight the heck out of here, I believe that
I'd... What is that, the door, Rush, honey?
A man that wanted to be directed to the Burton residence. I told him it was across the street. Mr. and Mrs. Burton live across the street, I said. He was delighted with the information. Oh, so Mr. and Mrs. Burton live across the street, do they? He replied, thank you very much. Not at all, I said. And we both exchanged a friendly smile.
Come on, Willie. We're going to the kitchen.
I'm not. I have to help Gov.
Oh, that's right. Well, come on, Uncle Fletcher. You and I will go.
I got something in my tooth.
Well, that needn't hold us up.
When I got something in my tooth, I'm rooted to the spot. That's a laughable thing about me. In fact, I'll tell you a little story on it.
No, Uncle Fletcher. We better go.
Ivy, Ivy, lady.
There is someone in the kitchen.
Miss Kessler.
Yes, Miss Kessler. I guess it's Miss Kessler.
You in the living room, Miss Gould?
Yes, but don't come in. I'll come out. Just a second. Come on.
I'll be along, Sadie. It's like I say, when I have something in my tooth, I am rooted to the spot.
Oh, he'll be along, Vic. When he has something in his tooth, he's rooted to the... He'll be along. Goodbye. I mean, I better go head off Miss Kessler before she comes in here. You and Rush go ahead with your work. Well, goodbye. Oh, quit looking at me like that, Vic. I'll be right there, Miss Kessler.
Don't hurry yourself, lady.
Oh, this isn't any hurry.
Well, shall we begin?
Okay.
Read item one, please.
Plant number 17, Toledo, Ohio, 9,240.
There I have successfully extricated the particle of roast beef which was plunged unlawfully in my tooth.
And are you leaving now?
That's right. Say, they got Oak Street blocked off.
Emerson Avenue.
What?
It's Emerson Avenue that's blocked off.
Yes, and Oak Street also.
Really?
Oak Street and Emerson Avenue, the half with both of them.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oak Street and Emerson Avenue, I've been to both places this morning. Oak Street and Emerson Avenue is both blocked off.
I wonder what the matter is.
I don't know what the numbskull matter is.
You're leaving, Uncle Fitcher?
Might be the fat head sewer system, and might be the lame brain water main has gone on the nitwit blink.
Vic, just one more tiny little interruption.
Good morning, Mr. Good.
Miss Kessler wants to just run through the living room to skip across the street.
Morning, Miss Kessler.
How are you today?
I'm quite well.
Well, and Uncle Fletcher.
Yes, indeed, ma'am. Good morning.
Rush, you're not in school.
Special teacher's meeting. We got dismissed.
Vic, the space between our house and Donahue's is blocked up by a coal truck that got a dead motor, and the driver went away and left it, and it's just standing there to where a person can't get through.
Is this it?
Yes. I don't want to squeeze through and get all over coal dust.
And on the other side, there's wet concrete.
Yeah, Mr. Erickson's putting in a new sidewalk.
A person can't get through there, either.
Why not?
Wooden horses.
What?
Mr. Erickson's got the yard blocked off with wooden horses.
I see.
Miss Kessler wants to run over across the street to Miss Call's, and both sides of our house are blocked off, so she asked if she couldn't just run through here.
I'm returning Miss Call her mop.
She'll enjoy that.
Oh, well, all right then, Miss Kessler. You take Miss Call's mop on over.
Yes. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
That's all, ma'am.
I couldn't help it, Vic.
How much time have I lost for my August inversion?
Oh, 32, 33 minutes.
It's nobody's fault, Vic.
I believe I have something else in my crew.
Now you'll be rooted to the spot again.
Yeah.
Well, Miss Gook, you home?
Orville Weenie.
Don't come in, Orville.
Can I come through your house?
No.
I want to get out on Virginia Avenue, but there ain't no way to get through.
Oh, stay there.
I believe this is the gas meter reader chap.
Yes.
Hello, Miss Gook. Mr. Gook. Hello, Rush. Uncle Fletcher.
Mm. Hi, Orville.
Say, there's a great big auto truck stalled beside your house. Man can't hardly get through. And on the other side, they got wooden horses to protect some fresh concrete.
Yeah.
So I thought I'd just come through here if it's all right.
Well, you've done it now.
Uh-huh. Well, it was nice seeing you folks. I'll be on my way now. Bye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, lad.
Bye, Mr. Cook.
Yes, indeed.
Bye, Rush.
Bye, Orville.
Bye, Uncle Fletcher.
I am convinced I have something in my tooth.
Gee, Vic, I'm sorry.
Our home is now a public thoroughfare, huh?
Oh, looks like it.
Emerson Avenue is blocked off. Oak Street's blocked off. Both sides of the house are blocked off. So the American public uses our living room as a main highway, a central artery.
I can't help it, Vic.
Miss Gook. Is anybody home?
Mr. Sprawl.
I wasn't going to be disturbed. I was going to have peace and quiet.
I'm on my way to the grocery store to buy some of them peanuts with the chocolate smeared on outside.
Sounds like Sprawl.
It is. He's on his way to buy some peanuts with the chocolate smeared on the outside. Yeah.
He's a great old gink for them confections.
I never wanted to come through your house like this, Miss Good, but I didn't have no other way.
Well, of course you didn't. This is a public street.
It's a few minutes later now at the small house halfway up in the next block. Sade finally persuaded Uncle Fletcher to join her outdoors. The parade of the different ones has ended, and Vic and Rush are alone. The former is saying, doggedly,
"Let's whip into this job now and see what we can accomplish. Begin from the beginning."
"Okay. Plant number 17, Toledo, Ohio, 9,206.
"Well, I did manage to take care of that. Next.
Plant 4, Sweet Esther, Wisconsin, 1,729.
Next.
Plant number 12, Dismal Seepage, Ohio, 11,283.
"Still working, I see. Well, sit still. Don't let me disturb you."
"Oh, Miss Kestrel."
"Hello. I returned Miss Caller mop, and now I'm on my way back home."
"I see.
People are using your living room like they use a public street."
"Yes."
"Well, goodbye."
"Bye."
"Goodbye."
"Don't work too hard."
"Next."
"Next."
Plant 12, Dismal Seepage, Ohio, 11,283.
"I forgot my penny. I guess I left it to home on a sideboard. Now I got to go back after it. I started for the grocery store to buy me some of them peanuts with the chocolate smeared on the outsides, and I forgot my penny."
"Well, that's too bad, Mr. Sproul."
"Yes. Well, I'll go on back home and get my penny off in the sideboard."
"Uh-huh."
"I'll be back through directly."
"Uh-huh."
"Next."
"Plant number 12, Dismal Seepage, Ohio, 11,283.
"Hello, Sproul."
"Hello."
"Where are you going?"
"I'm going home. I forgot my penny."
"Oh, too bad."
"Yes."
"Next."
Plant number 20, Yellow Jump, North Dakota, 9,630.
"Still on deck, are they? I cracked my pocket full of walnuts. Now I'm on my way out in front."
"Huh?"
"I seen Sproul out in the other room. He couldn't buy any peanuts with chocolate smeared on the outsides because he forgot his patty." "Well, ta-ta, gents."
"Bye, Uncle Fletcher."
"So many different ones using this living room for a public street, they're liable to wear out the carpet."
"Next, Rush."
Plant number 12, Dismal Seepage, Ohio, 11,000.
"The one after that."
"Oh, excuse me. Plant number 20, Yellow Jump, North Dakota, 9,600.
"Oh, Vic, it's just awful, and I know it, and I'm just terrible awful sorry."
"What?"
"I saw the people traipsing through here. I was out in the backyard. I couldn't very well stop them."
"Oh, this is a public street."
"Well, couldn't you take your work upstairs?"
"No."
"I never forgot my penny after all. I had it in my mitten. It was in my mitten all the time. Now I can go on to the grocery store and buy me them peanuts with the chocolate smeared on the outsides."
"Hello, Mr. Sproul."
"Yes. I had my penny in my mitten. It's there all the time."
"Uh-huh."
"Well, I'll go on over to the grocery store."
"Yes."
"Bye."
"Goodbye."
"Yes."
"Next, Grish."
"Vic, please don't blame me."
Plant number 20, Yellow Jump, North Dakota, 9,634.
"Hello."
"Hello."
"Beautiful day."
"Yes, indeed."
"Looked a little like rain early this morning."
"Yes, it did."
"The farmers could use a little rain."
"Yes."
"They had a drenching rain over around Peoria last night."
"And who is that?"
"I don't know. Don't you?"
"Never saw him before in my life."
"Who was he, Rush?"
"I haven't the slightest idea."
"Well, now perfect strangers are coming through the house."
Back again to Vic and Sade. Once again, there's comparative quiet in the small house halfway up in the next block, and Vic tries to get on with the work he brought home from the office.
"Pete, I've been so distracted, I think I better review the material we've covered. Read it from the beginning."
"Starting with item one?"
"Yeah."
"Okay."
"You can read right along without pausing."
"Okay. Plant number 17, Toledo, Ohio, 9,206. Plant number 4, Sweet Esther, Wisconsin, 1,729. Plant number 12, Dismal Seepage, Ohio, 11,286. Plant number 20, Yellow Jump, North Dakota, 9,640.
Hello, Rick. Hello, Rush. Now I'm on my way to the backyard. It's not necessary to answer my question. Just keep your chairs.
What time is it?
Gee, Gov, I don't know.
How long would you estimate we've been sitting here?
Better than half an hour, anyway.
How much have we accomplished?
Not very much, I expect.
Absolutely nothing. We've accomplished absolutely nothing. And I'm beginning to be afraid we'll never accomplish anything. I'm getting so befuddled and confused, I doubt whether I'll ever emerge from...
Excuse me, but can you direct me to the underwear department?
What did you say, ma'am?
I'm looking for the underwear department.
Underwear department?
This is a private home, ma'am, not a store.
Well, how do I go? Out that door yonder?
Yes, out that door yonder and into the street.
Oh, thank you. I guess I made a mistake.
Yes, I guess you did.
I didn't think this looked like a store.
Let's plunge into the work once again, Rush. Let's plunge into the work before somebody else...
Can you fellas tell me what is the telephone? Oh, I see it. Don't get up.
Who's that?
I don't know.
I'm going out in front again. Oh, hello.
Hello, Fletch.
Where you been keeping yourself?
Oh, I've been around.
I'll see you down at the interurban station some of these evenings.
Sure thing. Hello, 7689W, please.
I'm not dreaming all these things are going on, am I, Rush?
No.
Hello, Marge. How are you, you old fathead? No, I'm fine. But, gee, I'm not quite sure. Hold on a second, Marge. What part of town is this, Bud?
Virginia Avenue.
Between Emerson Avenue and Oak Street.
Thanks. Hello, Marge. I'm on Virginia Avenue, Marge, between Emerson Avenue and Oak Street. Yeah. So, how's your papa?
You have no idea who this clunk is?
None in the world.
Uncle Fletcher seemed to know him.
Yeah.
You're a beautiful woman, Marge. Oh, yes, you are. I'm bluffing. Blushing? What'd you say, Marge? Bluffing or blushing? Blushing, huh? I'm blushing. How can you tell I'm blushing over the telephone?
This fathead says I'm blushing. She don't know nothing.
Oh, no, Marge, that's no fooling. You are a beautiful woman.
Hello.
Hello, Orville.
I'm going the other way this trip.
Uh-huh.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, Marge, fine. You bet. I'll see you this evening then, huh? Oh, that's great, Marge.
Hello, Orville.
Hello, Miss Kessler.
I think it's going to be a warm day.
I think so myself.
Fine, Marge. Certainly, Marge. No doubt about that, Marge.
Hello.
Hello.
I returned Miss Caller mop, but I forgot to return her shoe trees.
Uh-huh.
I borrowed them when I had company week before last.
Uh-huh.
I expect you probably think it's funny, a person borrowing shoe trees. But this company of mine has feet that require shoe trees whenever the foot is only in its stocking feet. Say, isn't that Mr. Thompson using the telephone? Hello, Mr. Thompson.
Hello, Mrs. Kessler.
Why, I haven't seen you since the McScrooger wedding.
That's right. Say, how are Pete and Dorothy?
Pete fell out of the wheelbarrow at the locomotive foundry and broke his tooth and his leg. Dorothy fell out of the rocking chair. Isn't that funny?
Oh, they're caution, both of them.
How is Isabel?
Isabel's manufacturing sheet iron. Say, just a second. I got my girl here on the phone. Marge? Say, Marge, hold on half a minute, will you? Oh, it's fine, Marge. You're my favorite fathead.
She is a fathead, too.
Oh, I know.
Yes, Isabel's back manufacturing sheet iron. She done that, you know, for 20 years.
Oh, I thought she worked at the ribbon counter in at the Five and Dime.
She works the ribbon counter in at the Five and Dime for a while, and then she goes back to manufacturing steel for a while. I have to laugh.
You had your skull arranged differently, I understand.
Yes, I did. I had the shape of it altered.
Imagine that, Mr. Cook. Yeah, the shape of his head changed. I bet that hurt.
Oh, it hurt awful. See, the doctor used a hammer and two flat stones. You could hear me yell a block away. Doctor yelled, too. He thought I was fine. Oh, we had a good laugh when the operation was all over. That operation set me back $42, but it was worth it.
You look very nice.
Oh, I look great. Of course, I can't wear a hat, though. When I put a hat on, it slips down over my nose and mouth. Say, was I smoking a cigar?
No, I don't think so.
How's your brother?
He passed away.
Oh, I believe I did hear that.
He fell down on the railroad station platform. Didn't seem inclined to get up.
Where was this?
Detroit, Michigan.
Which Detroit, Michigan?
Same Detroit, Michigan, where Lake Erie is.
Oh, I wish I was there right this very minute.
Oh, you'll probably go to the doctor and have the shape of your head changed again.
I would.
You love good times more than any boy I know.
Oh, I sure do. Well, say, I better get back and talk to this fathead on the telephone here.
Yes, nice to trot on across the street. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
And, Mr. Gook, I hope you don't think I'm too much of a nuisance going back and forth.
Gee, Marge, I don't know. Hold on a second, will you? How do you spell Mississippi, Doc?
M-I-S-S-I-S-S-I-P-P-I.
Marge, you spell Mississippi M-I-S-S-I-P-P-I.
No, another set of S's.
What? Hold it, Marge.
What? You left out part of it. It's M-I-S-S-I-S-S-I-P-P-I.
Oh. Marge, it's M-I-S-S... I-S-S-I-P-P-I.
Hello.
Hello, Uncle Fletcher.
I see Thompson is using your telephone.
His name is Thompson?
Yeah. Hello, Thompson.
Hello, Fletch. I'm talking to my girl.
Fine. I'll see you chaps later.
Oh, yeah.
All right, then, Marge. Let's leave it go at that, huh? I'll see you tonight around 7 o'clock. It's your thing, Marge. Goodbye. Which way is Virginia Avenue? Front way or back way?
Front way.
Okay, so long.
So long.
So long.
I'm due at the pool hall.
Name is Thompson.
Vic, I've just been talking to Mr. Erickson. He said he'd removed the wood. Who's that man going out the front door?
Mr. Thompson.
What do you want?
He'd use our phone.
Do you know him? I suppose you haven't gotten very far with your invoices.
No, I haven't.
Well, I've just been talking with Mr. Erickson. He's going to remove the wooden horses at noontime. And all these people won't be using our living room for a public street.
Hello.
Hello.
Wonderful day, ma'am.
Yes, indeed.
Warm for this time of the year.
Who is that?
I don't know.
Do you know Rush?
Uh-uh.
Well, anyway, Mr. Erickson is going to remove those wooden horses at noontime, and then you'll be... Vic, what's the matter?
Why do you ask?
You've got the strangest expression on your face I ever saw. It's quiet now, Vic. Go ahead and work.
All right.
I'll read you the items as far as we've gone, Gov.
All right.
Plant number 17, Toledo, Ohio, 9,206. Plant number 4, Sweet Esther, Wisconsin, 1,729. Plant number 12, Dismal Seepage, Ohio.
Pete Watson!
Well, by George.
How are you, Pete?
Oh, never better. How's yourself?
Dismal Seepage,
Ohio. I feel swell. Say, imagine walking down the street and bumping into you. Where you been keeping yourself?
I've been in Dwight the last 3 months.
Dismal. Oh? What doing?
Working on the section gang.
I was thinking the other day I hadn't seen you around.
I expect to be around from now on. I got a job over at the wash machine factory.
Good.
Say, how's your sister? I heard she was sick.
Oh, I'll say she was sick. Darn near kicked the bucket.
Oh, is she okay now?
Completely recovered.
What seemed to be the trouble?
Start out with a flu, then pneumonia.
Oh, I understand. There's lots of cases like that.
I'm on my way over to my sister's house now. Why don't you walk over with me?
Sure.
Say, Pete, do you ever see anything Art Gilmore these days?
Gee, I don't guess I've seen Art Gilmore in 6 months.
He talked about going to Terre Haute, Indiana.
Yes, I know he did.
Maybe that's where he went.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Who are those guys?
Oh.
Anybody you're acquainted with, Rush?
Uh-uh.
They seem like nice fellas.
Shall we go ahead with the invoices?
Yes.
Plant number 17, Toledo, Ohio, 9,200.
Here I am back again, people.
Hello, Miss Kessler.
I returned Mrs. Calder. Shoot trees I borrowed.
Vic, honey, Mr. Erickson's going to remove them wooden horses out beside the house. Well, quite a few of the different ones.
Hello, Uncle Fletcher.
Hello. Vic, honey. Mr. Erickson's going to remove them wooden horses without...
Miss Gook, I got me a penny's worth of them peanuts with the chocolate smeared on the outsides.
Hello, Mr. Sprawl.
Peanuts with chocolate smeared on the outsides is good.
Yes, they are.
Quite a few of the different ones on deck.
Yeah.
People uses this house just like they'd use the public street.
Uh-huh.
How are you getting along with your work, Vic, honey?
Oh, splendid, Uncle Fletcher. Just splendid.
Oh, what's that?
Sounds like some kind of a machine.
What is that, Rush?
It's a motorcycle. Somebody's riding a motorcycle through here.
Come to the end of another pleasant visit halfway up in the next block with radio's famous home folks, Vic and Sade, brought to you each Thursday night at this time with the good wishes of the Mutual Network. Vic and Sade is written by Paul Reimer, directed by Roy Windsor. This is Jerry Coffer speaking.